Good morning. If you're sitting on the inside of the pew, would you please take the friendship register and fill it out and pass it down so we can get a record of your attendance this morning? And there are a couple of announcements I'd like to bring attention to. First and foremost, happy Mother's Day to each and every one of the mothers out there. Also, the session is going to meet this Friday at 2 o'clock down in the pastor's office. My mind went blank on me a moment. And also, Carol Marks is here today. If you see her, say happy birthday. Her birthday's tomorrow, okay? So, and any other announcements?
I don't know if a lot of you know this or not, but primary is coming up on May 17th, the primary vote. It is early voting right now. So please, you don't have to go to your home precinct to vote. You can go to any of the open primary voting places. In Buncombe, it's most of the libraries, but not all of them. If you live in Henderson County, I know that they have a couple over there too. But please go and vote. If you live within the city limits, you are voting on your city mayor and council. So it's really important that you go out and vote. I think every vote is important, but please go out and vote, either early voting or not. Yes?
This year's school board.
Oh, that's right. School board also. That's for the city. City school board, city mayor, and city council. So it's really important. If you don't know who to vote for, talk to some of us. Anyway, thank you.
Any other announcements? If not, would you take your bulletin and turn to the inside cover, and let's do the unison reading that's printed there together. And it reads,
if you would stand and let's call to worship, and that will be Sanctuary, which is printed in your bulletin.
Lord, prepare me.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning just praising your name and thanking you for the privilege of being here in your house to worship. We ask, Lord, that your presence be with us, guide us, direct us, forgive us our sins, and be with those who couldn't be here this morning for whatever reason, Lord. We just ask that your presence be with them and let them know that they're missed even when they're absent from our midst. We ask now, Lord, that your spirit be here. Guide us, direct us, and help us to be still and know that you are God. In your name we pray. Amen.
If you would, now to continue our worship, turn to 161 in your hymnal, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
Please be seated. And if you would, take your bulletin, and we're going to do questions 6 and 7 of the shorter catechism this morning. I'll read the question, and you do the answer that's printed in bold. It says, how many persons are there in the Godhead?
There are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one God, the same in substance.
What are the decrees of God?
The decrees of God are his eternal purpose, according to the counsel of his will, whereby, for his own glory, he has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass.
come to a time of tithes and offerings, I'd like to read 2 Corinthians 9:7. It says, "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." At this time, the ushers come forward and take our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we bring these tithes, gifts, and offerings here to your storehouse, and we thank you for the privilege of being able to give a portion back to you that you so graciously give to us. We ask, Lord, that you let us use these funds wisely to further your kingdom here locally and abroad. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
What a great opportunity we have to come together in the name of our Lord and Savior and lift up his name and also lift up those needs and prayer requests of our congregation. Let me say just now as we begin that if some of you are watching the clock in the back, it's about 15 minutes fast. So if you think I'm going over, just minus 15 up there. But anyway, I know when we came out, the choir came out, some of you are wondering, what's taking them so long? But anyway, we do have the opportunity as we come together to lift up the Lord's name on this beautiful Sabbath morning. So let's bow as we pray together. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks this day. We praise you and thank you for your many, many blessings. And Lord, certainly on this day when we honor mothers, we thank you from our hearts for your graciousness in giving us wonderful mothers on earth. And Lord, we pray that on this day that we would remember to honor them in our hearts. Our Father, we do pray for your blessing on this nation, on the United States of America, on this Mother's Day. And Lord, we pray that you would protect those who have come into houses of worship to praise you and to honor you, that you would put your hedge of protection around them, that, Lord, they might be able to lift up your name in freedom. Father, we also pray that in our land that your name might be lifted up, that your name would be lifted up in our legislature, in our places of power and authority, that they would recognize a higher authority in the living God. Lord, it would be so great if once again we could call this one nation under God. And that is our heart's desire. And Lord, we ask and pray that you would grant a revival of heart in our nation, a revival of spirit, that as we turn to you as our Lord and as our God, that you would bless this land once again. Now, Father, we do pray and ask for your blessing on those who come this morning with special needs, for those who come with physical problems and difficulties, or those who are at home who can't come because of physical problems. And Lord, we do remember to pray this morning for Leanne Adams, and we ask you, Lord, to continue healing her after her knee surgery, that you would strengthen her. We pray, Lord, for Zoe, and we ask, Lord, that you would heal her completely, heal this collarbone completely and totally, that you give her freedom of motion. Lord, for John, we pray and ask, Lord, that you would heal John Wood completely and strengthen his back, that he might come back to us as our music director. Our Father, we also pray for Tom Gibson, ask you, Lord, to touch his physical body and to heal him. And Lord, I know that there are others here this morning that are suffering from physical problems and physical needs. And Lord, we thank you that as we worship you and praise you, that you are our healer, that you are our great physician. And so we come to you as our Lord and Savior and ask you to spread your healing in our midst, that you would bring us back to health, physical health as a congregation. Lord, also I pray for those who are in anguish this morning, for those who are in distress, for those who are filled with anxiety, possibly over the future or over finances or over family issues. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would give us the freedom, even in this morning, to cast our anxieties onto you, knowing that you care for us. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be here this morning. We invite you and ask you to come and fill this place and fill each one of our hearts, that you would give us joy, and out of that joy, that, Lord, we would express our love for you and our love for one another. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray these things. Amen.
If you would now stand, and let's turn to number 146, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds.
Jesus, our Son,
That is such a beautiful hymn. And some of you may have noticed that that was written by John Newton, the same person that wrote Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Please turn with me in your Bibles to our scripture reading for this morning. Our scripture reading is found in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and reading verses 1 to 10. 2 Timothy chapter 1, reading verses 1 to 10. And hear now the word of God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. And I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. And for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And may God add to understanding this portion from his holy word. Well, happy Mother's Day to all of you. You know, there are a lot of churches that don't believe that we should include Mother's Day in our church calendar. And I understand that. Many of them say, well, you know, it's just a contrived holiday. It's something that Hallmark cards put together so they could sell more products or whatever. But it's just a advertising gimmick. But, you know, if you look back at the history of it, that's not the way it began. Some say, you know, well, you should honor mothers every day, not just one particular day of the year. And all I can say is that unless we set aside a certain time, just as we do Christmas or Easter or other days during the calendar, we tend to forget. And we tend to forget just how important mothers are. And we're going to look more at that this morning. Unless a day is set aside, and this is the day, May the 8th, 2022, that's been set aside. You know, in past years, mothers were always praised and they were honored. Some of the famous men in history have spoken not only about important things of state, but they spoke about their mothers. And I wrote down just a couple of these, like Abraham Lincoln, who said at one point, "All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." George Washington said this, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother." Thomas Edison attributed his success in life to his mother. He said, "I did not have my mother long, but she cast over me an influence which has lasted all my life." And I was astounded to see this. It was widely reported that on one occasion, a London editor submitted to Winston Churchill for his approval a list of all the teachers he had in his life. And Churchill looked at the list and handed it back to the reporter and said, "You have omitted to mention the greatest of all my teachers, my mother." Mothers have always been lifted up and held up, probably until recently, maybe until this generation. You know, I've mentioned this before, and to me it's a great story, but I'm going to share it again with you. It's a story about a little boy who was in a Sunday school play, and he only had one line in that play, and that line was, "I am the light of the world." And as the play began and the little boy was nervous, his mother sat on the front row, and it came time for the little boy to give his one-line speech. And he couldn't think of it, and he stood there and he looked around and he couldn't think of the words. And his mother leaned over and she said, "I am the light of the world." And little boy's face lit up and he said, "My mom is the light of the world." I think that's so precious because it's so innocent of what he said. You know, I also read this story, and I thought I wanted to share it with you. This is a little girl asked her mother, "How did the human race start?" And her mother answered, "Well, God made Adam and Eve, and they had children, and so all mankind was made." And the little girl walked away, but two days later, she asked her father the same question. Now, her father was not a believer. And the father answered, "Many years ago, there were monkeys from which the human race evolved." And the confused girl returned to her mother and said, "Mom, how is it possible that you told me the human race was created by God, but Dad said they developed from monkeys?" And the mother answered, "Well, it's very simple. I told you about my side of the family, and your father told you about his." Now, the moral of the story is, don't mess with moms. Don't mess with moms. You know, a group of high school seniors were asked by their teacher to write essays on things that their mom taught them, things their mother taught them. And the teacher went through all of these and made a list. And some of these will probably ring true, because as I read this list, I realized, you know, my mom said a lot of these things to me. So anyway, these are things that our mother has taught us. The first one is, she taught us logic. And that is, if everyone else jumped off a cliff, would you do it too? That's logic. She taught me medicine. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to freeze that way. She taught me about foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you have an accident. She taught me about the circle of life. I brought you into this world and I can take you out of it. She taught me about my farming roots. What were you, born in a barn? I heard that more than once. She taught me about anticipation. Just wait till your father gets home. She taught me about payback. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they're just like you. And she taught me about the importance of prayer. You'd better pray that stain comes out of the carpet. It's funny, you know, the way teenagers perceive their moms. But in all of that, I'm sure that there was a heart for them, a love for them. But, you know, a lot has changed over the last several years, especially over maybe the recent 5 to 10 years. A movement that has tried to change our traditional views of motherhood in America. In fact, there are those that want us to stop using the terms mother and father, that a mother should now be called a birthing person. These are attempts to redefine the traditional family. And you're wondering why right now that there's such a to-do about the abortion issue. And I'm going to say this, I've shared this before, I'm not a political person. I don't take sides in politics. I don't support one party over another, but I am a conservative. And I believe that what we have to do is look at issues, and we vote according to those issues. There are people in this country that have tried to make every issue political, and they are not. Murder is not a political issue, it's a moral issue. Homosexuality is a moral issue. These things are being used as political weapons, and they cannot be. The abortion issue controversy right now that's affecting the entire nation, and I'm sure we're all aware of it, We see on television, we see the riots, and we see things that are beginning to happen. I believe that it's happening as a diversion to get us away from what the real issues are in this country, but it's being used as a weapon. You know, I heard somebody the other day, yesterday or the day before, that was talking about the 14th Amendment and how the 14th Amendment protects abortion. And so I looked it up. Maybe you have too. But this is what it says. It says, all persons born or naturalized in the United States are subject to the jurisdiction thereof, are citizens of the United States and of the states wherein they reside. So it says, all persons born. And I'll say, well, this is not a born person. This is an unborn child. And so we have the right to abort that baby. You know, the 14th Amendment was made for civil rights. It was made to protect the rights of those slaves that had been set free, of our black community. It was for their benefit. And I'm sure the framers of the Constitution never in their mind even considered the fact that a mother would want to terminate their own baby. And to use it in that way is unconscionable. So what does the Bible say about mothers? Mothers are precious. You know, the Bible speaks throughout the pages of Scripture about the covenant community, that we are a covenant community, that we have the vertical aspects, that is, our relationship to God, but we also have the horizontal aspects, our relationships to one another, the way we treat one another, the way we treat our parents. The Bible speaks about it. It's the relationship to God and the relationship to man. The fifth commandment clearly states, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord our God gives you. Honor them. Israel was commanded to honor their parents, not just once, but over and over and over. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3, it says this, every one of you shall revere his mother and his father. I am the Lord your God. When we honor our parents, when we honor our mothers, we're honoring God. You know, God chooses our parents. We didn't choose them. And I hate it when I hear these young people say, I didn't choose to be born. No, God did. Not only did God choose for you to be born, but God chose the parents that you're going to have, the parents that he's putting in your life, the mother that he's giving you to train you and to raise you in the things of the Lord. This is why Paul, when he's speaking to Timothy, mentions not only Timothy's mother, but also Timothy's grandmother. This is verse 5 in the passage that we read. It says this, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. And what he's talking about, see, this is the progression of the covenant. This is the covenant promise. When parents come and they baptize their children, they're putting the sign of the covenant on that children. It doesn't mean that that child is saved. It just means that I'm making a covenant with God that by faith, I'm going to do everything within my power to raise this child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And because of that we have every reason to believe as believers that our children will one day follow in our steps as Timothy followed in his mother and grandmother's steps to proclaim the name of Jesus. So the question comes up often, well, who is your mother? A question that was even asked to Jesus. You know, Matthew chapter 12, verses 47 to 50, it says this. But Jesus replied to the man who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. You know, he is pointing to the covenant relationships that existed within the body of Christ and how important and how strong those relationships are before God. He's speaking of the individuals that God has used in our lives to train us and to grow us up in the faith so that we can be the men and women that we are today. You know, other cultures have the same kind of influence. In fact, you know, when they did the 2020 census, they found out that especially in the Spanish and Italian communities, it was very difficult to find out what family order people lived in, because a lot of times they would share a common house. There might be three or four families, and so they would say, well, who is your father and who is your mother? And they would get these answers, and then somebody else would give the same response, and they say, well, are you brothers? Well, no, we're not brothers. No, we're not sisters. This person is my mother. But what they meant was, this is the person that in my life has given themselves to me, has helped me, has strengthened me. And this is not my birth mother, but this is my mother. We might call it today, this is my mom. This is the person that I look to for my strength. And they refer to women either as mother or mom in these cultures. I was looking also that the American Indians did the same thing. They used that same term to relate to those individuals that were used to grow them up, to strengthen them. This is one of the reasons why it's so important for those who have that responsibility to be godly, that they would train up children under their care. These are the people that God has placed in our lives to strengthen us, to bless us. You know, and they could be people outside of our family. They could be relatives. They could be teachers. They could be neighbors. They could be family friends. I remember when my children were growing up, there was a woman that lived down the street, and she was a retired school teacher, and she would have a class 2 days a week where parents would bring all their children, and she would have drinks for them, and she would have treats for them, but she would teach them, and she would teach them about the Lord. It was like a Sunday school class. And those little children thought of her as their mom for that period of time. And that's not unusual. I'm sure a number of you have been teachers. And as a teacher, don't you develop that close relationship? For the most part, you're probably spending more time with these children than their own parents do. And after a while, those children develop a very close relationship to you as their teacher. I remember Annie telling me, Annie was teaching eighth grade. And while she was teaching eighth grade, she was working with the students. And one of the boys, eighth grade boy, now what's that, about 14, 15, something like that, turned to her and called her mom. And she said, you know, it was one of the greatest blessings for me. And she didn't embarrass him. She didn't call him on it. But it blessed her. She came home and told me all about it. It was a great blessing for her. So, you know, it could very well be possible that in your lifetime, God did not bless you with children. But God gave you other outlets. He gave you other ways to be a mom. And I'm sure many of you have fulfilled that in your life. And when we honor moms and mothers on Mother's Day, we're honoring you too. So how are we supposed to honor our mothers? How do we do it? I think one way that we do it, first of all, is to minimize their faults. You know, we can sit here and we can think back of all the mistakes that our parents made, our mothers and fathers. We can think back, well, if only they had done that, but why did they do this? And how come they did this? And we can look back in hindsight and we can challenge every one of those. But once the shoes were on our feet, then we can say, boy, this is not easy. This is hard. And I doubt seriously that there are many today that would say, I was consciously not good to my children. I consciously did what I could to hurt them. I doubt there. Unless a person is really twisted, they would never say that. What they probably said was, you know, under the circumstances, I did everything I could to help them and train them in godliness. So the best thing we can do is to minimize those faults, especially of our birth mothers. They weren't perfect. But you know, when we look back, neither were we. And I think back on some of the things that caused my mother to say things or do things, and I thought, you know, that was my fault. She was right in jumping on me for that. So we minimize their faults, but we also at the same time maximize their strengths. We maximize their gifts. Some of them were great cooks. Some of them had beautiful voices. Some of them had hearts of compassion and love for others. Annie and I were at a family reunion up in New Jersey some time ago, a few years back, and we spoke to one of my uncles, who was at that time still alive, and Annie was speaking to him, and Annie said, "Tell me about your mother." That would be my grandmother. And my grandmother was a godly woman. "And tell me something about your grandmother." And he thought for a minute and he said, "She could whip up a meal out of nothing. Even if we didn't have anything at all, she would go around and she would find something and she would cook it up and have the best meal for people." I'm sure of many things that he could remember about her. That was one that stood out. Her abilities, that was her strength. And about their personal sacrifice, how many times have mothers gone without? They've given what they don't have, but they've come up with it somehow so that a child could have shoes to wear to school or could have clothing to wear. Kids outgrow their clothes so quickly. All of a sudden they need things and you don't have the money for it, but you cut over here something that you were saving for, something that you, so that you could give to them. Sacrifice, personal sacrifice. And that sacrifice of a loving mother would go all the way to giving their lives for that child if they had to. Personal sacrifice. And then also unconditional love. You know, moms know us. They know when we're getting off the beaten track. They know when we're doing things that aren't right. They know when we're acting in ways that aren't good. And yet through it all, they try to love us, forgive us, help us, encourage us. We maximize their strong points, minimize their weaknesses. And then, if you are so fortunate as to have your mother who is still alive, honor her. Honor her. This is Mother's Day. This is a day that has been set aside so that we can remember and honor our mothers. Maybe take her out to dinner. Buy her some flowers. And if you're a husband and your wife has mothered your children, honor her. Honor her. Take her to dinner today. Buy her some flowers. You know, James Taylor some time ago wrote a song, and the words of the song were this: "Oh, father and mother, sister and brother, if it feels nice, then don't think twice. Just shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel. Things are going to be much better if you only will." And I feel like that's the way that we can honor them. We can stop and just say, you know, you're one in a million, one in a billion. You're a wonderful mother because you've given it all you have to give. Probably one of the greatest complaints that's heard among mothers is that my children never contact me anymore. My children have forgotten me. They don't call, they don't write. I remember one mother that said that when she died, she wanted to be cremated and her ashes spread at the Walmart parking lot because that way she knew that her daughters would come visit her at least twice a week. Shower the people you love with love. Overdo it. Love them. You know, our text this morning was in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. Two chapters later, in chapter 3, Paul makes this statement. He warns us that in the last day, love would grow cold. And this is what we're facing today. We're facing love that's growing cold. We're facing children that are ignoring their parents, that don't have love in their hearts, even for their mother, who are disrespectful, who think nothing of dishonoring and disobeying. Proverbs speaks about that over and over again. Talks about honoring your parents. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, it says, "Hear, my son, your father's instructions, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck." Over and over again in Scripture, it says, don't neglect the teachings of your mother, because she's the one that loves you unconditionally. She loves you. We're facing today love growing cold. We wonder in our hearts, how could a mother destroy her own children? And yet we see it all the time. Love has grown cold. And it's the responsibility of believers in Jesus Christ, God's body. It's our responsibility to uphold the traditional values of motherhood and fatherhood in our society. We have that responsibility to do that. Let us be the ones who will revere our mothers, who will honor our mothers, and especially on this Mother's Day. Let's remember in our hearts to say, thanks, Mom. Let's bow as we pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, again, we thank you so much that you are a gracious and merciful God. Lord, I thank you for our mothers. Lord, what would life be without them, without the knowledge of them, the memory of them? Lord, I pray and ask that you would open up our hearts to your love, that you have loved us with a tender love, and we pray, Father, that we would remember that even as we think of our own mothers. And I thank you for each mother that's here today, and pray that your blessing would fall upon them, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. If you would stand and turn to number 91. I know I'm going to sound kind of prejudiced here, but I think I have the greatest mother in the world.
Thank you.
Please bow and receive the benediction. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.